Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
You and I are to be always walking in awe of God. We were created to walk in awe of God. When the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit, New Testament is full of that. New Testament teaches about how we're to walk in the Spirit, not walk according to the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We could just say walking in the Spirit is walking in awe of God. Walking in the Spirit is walking in awe of God, where He's bigger to you than anything else. He's greater to you than anything, anyone else. He is all-consuming. He is totally awesome. And just as the song goes, as we walk through creation and we look around, we see what an awesome God we serve. We don't fall in love with the creation. We don't bow down to the creation. We don't worship the creation. We don't live for the creation. We fall down and bow down and worship the Creator of the creation because we see Him in everything that is. We see Him in everything. That's walking in the Spirit. That's living life in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The more in the flesh we are, the less we see God. The more we just see ourselves. We see our circumstances. We see other people. We see the creation. But we don't see the Creator. We don't see Him. We don't see Him. But if we really see Him, we're in awe of Him because He's awesome. He's awesome. And we need to see Him with our hearts. We need to see Him with the eyes of our spirit. That's how we're to live our lives. All caught up in Him. Not caught up in work. Not caught up in business. Not caught up in the family. Not caught up in church. Not caught up in whatever else. Caught up in relationships. Caught up in fellowship, whatever it might be, now caught up in Him, just all entangled with God, just all knotted up. You know, it's like a knot you just can't get out. You know, you're just all knotted up with Him. Bible says don't be entangled with the affairs of this life, but be entangled in an affair with Jesus. Be entangled in a relationship with Him because that's what you were created for. That is your purpose. Are you hearing me? We weren't just created by God. We were created for God. Not just by Him, but for Him. A lot of people understand. They believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. We were all created by God. Good. Do you know you were created for God? Created for Him, not just by Him. If you live for anything else other than Him, you have fallen from the very purpose for your life. He is the purpose for your living for Him. That's what you were created for. You were created by God for God. We see this over in Colossians chapter 1. Why don't you go with me there this morning? Colossians, the first chapter. And in verse 16, it says, "For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." See, this is something we gotta get a hold of. Say, I was created for God. I was created by Him, through Him, for Him, and to live in Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. And yet so much when people talk, it's usually all about them. right? I. It's the exact opposite. A person that talks like that, thinks like that, lives like that, their whole life is out of order. They're not even living for the very reason they were created. They were created to function a certain way, but they're not functioning in that way at all. They're functioning completely independently of Him. They're functioning for themselves. Their life revolves around them. Or as some people have said to me, man, my life revolves around my kids. I live for my kids. I just live for my kids. Well, you're an idolatrous person, and you're dysfunctional. You're dysfunctional. You're not functioning according to God's purpose for your life. How many people ever wonder why they're here? I mean, that's what led me to the Lord. That's what caused me to actually get saved. One day I was wondering, what in the world am I here for? Your life was good. I was a young guy, and I had my own business. It was in partnership with my brother. It's doing good. But I just said, there's got to be more to this life than just living, going to work, you know, working for the weekend. Go out and have fun on the weekend, and then work for the rest of the week again. There's got to be more than this. And I began to have a hungry heart. I wanted to know, why am I here? And then I found out I'm here for Him. I'm still finding it out. It's a progressive revelation. It's a growing in the understanding that I am here for Him. I am not here for myself. I'm not here for others. I'm not here for you. I'm not here. Religion does that. Religion makes it all about us. A lot of churches make it all about us. It's not all about us. I said, it's not all about us. It's not all about you. It's not about us. It's about others. No, it's not about others. It's about Him. That's what it's about. It's about Him. It's about living for God. Living for Him. Living to worship Him. To please Him. To fulfill His purpose and design for my life. Which is to give Him glory. To give Him honor. To give Him worship. That's what you and I were created for. And we see it right here in the Word of God. Everything about us needs to be producing for Him. We are producing results in life for Him. And so we always need to be checking up on ourselves, making sure that we're functioning for that purpose. That we're living for that purpose. That what we're producing in life is in fact glorifying God and not just enriching ourselves, not just helping ourselves or helping others. Because you can go out and feed the poor and live for giving to others and still end up in hell. Because those things don't save you. Just like he talks about it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know, you know, saying going to hell is an extreme thing. But there are people that are in hell today, and yet they were very charitable. They were very good at giving to others. Well, like he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and talking about the love of God. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, you maybe get an airplane, drive it into a building, something, you know, get my body to be burned. I mean, very zealous, right? Very zealous for God. And yet, is it for God? Or is it again for self? You know, even going to heaven shouldn't be about going to heaven. Getting saved should be about going to God, getting back to God, getting to Him, connecting to Him. It's not about just getting to heaven, it's about getting to God. Jesus didn't come so you can go to heaven. Jesus did not die so you can go to heaven. Jesus came so you can go to God. So you can be reconnected to him. You can rejoin the fellowship that God created you for, that you can truly worship him with a pure heart, living for him now. That's why Jesus came, so we can live for him now. And that starts now. Living for him starts now. It doesn't start when we get to heaven. It starts now. And I can't wait to get to heaven, because when I get to heaven, I get to see more of him. I get to know him even more. I get to experience him to even a greater degree. So it isn't even about going to heaven. Some people blow themselves up so they can go to heaven. Have a nice harem up there. That's what they're taught, some of these folks. And have themselves all these riches and be honored by their God. And that's what they're living for. But the ones that are in heaven that God has honored, they just take all the honor that he's bestowed on them and they cast it on him. They cast their crowns before him. They give him all the honor, all the glory, all the praise for all things, because it's not about them, even though he honors them, even though he rewards them. The greatest reward is just knowing I got him. I'm with him. In him, we live and move and have our being. It's all about him now. And when we're not living all about him, and it's all about this or that, all about ourselves, and we're using God to help us live a good life, then we're not living according to the very purpose we were created for. So things are out of order, so things aren't going to function the way they're supposed to function. And it's going to cause problems. And that's why there's so many people that are having problems in life. That's where problems stem from. It's from not living in your purpose. Living for the very reason you were created. So again, he says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love. And we're talking about God's love. We're talking about a love affair with him. That's what we're talking about. If we don't have that, if you don't have love for God, not just the love of God in you, but a love for God, if you're not loving him, then all these other religious things that you do, they're not profitable. It appears profitable to men, but it really, in truth, really isn't profitable. Somebody say it's all about him. That's right. I mean, if you go out and you purchase a computer for yourself, you go out, you buy this, spend all this money, you buy this computer for yourself, and you sit down and go to use it, and it freezes up. Anybody know what that's like? Computer freeze up on you? Yeah, everything just seems to lock. Then the screen goes black. It's not functioning right. And so, you know, you call the service guy. And, you know, like in my case, you know, I'll call for Robert. And I'll say, man, I need you to come to my office. The computer ain't working right. Well, by the time he steps foot in the door and the computer sees him coming, it starts working. I thought, Robert, we're done. It's so you're coming. And that's it. It's all fixed. Thanks for coming. And then, you know, you turn around to sit it, go to work, and it freezes up again. And it seems like the computer works for everybody else except you. Anybody ever had anything like that? I mean, it works for everybody else. Everybody else is using the computer, you know, or whatever it might be, whatever kind of mechanical thing it is, you know. Be like, you know, you purchase a car for yourself. Somebody drives it over to you, man, says, have a blessed day. You get in the car, you drive down the road and it stalls. You think, dear Lord, you call the guy back up, say, I'm down the road here, the car stalled. And so then, you know, the guy that sold to you, he comes down there, he gets in the car, and he just drives off. Says, works perfectly fine for me. I said, well, I don't know why it stalled for me. You get back in the car, you drive down the road away, you leave that guy, and the car stalls again. Have you ever taken anything to be repaired, and you bring it in there and to the mechanic or to whoever, and you bring it to him to get fixed, and they say, we can't find anything wrong with it. And you take it home, and it still has the same problem. It's like, well, didn't you see the problem? than I'm seeing? That's a dysfunctional piece of machinery, isn't it? It's not working the way it was designed to work. It was supposed to work for the one that buys it, but it's not. And that's how a lot of people are. We're like dysfunctional when it comes to God, but yet we're functional with everybody else. We get zealous and excited and happy and involved in all these other things in life, and then God comes over and dullness. Everything shuts down. Everything's just not working the way it's supposed to be working. But yet it works for everybody else. There's something wrong with that. I said there's something wrong with a piece of machinery like that. Well, it's the same way spiritually. There's a lot wrong with us. There's a lot wrong with us when we have energy for everything else except Him. We have time for everything else except Him. When it comes to everything else, we can get motivated. When it comes to God, we just don't have the motivation. The screen goes blank. There's something wrong with that. That's not what we were created for. We got to get back to what we were created for. We weren't created for the creation. We weren't created to produce for ourselves or for everybody else and perform for everybody else. We were designed to work for Him. For Him. And then He, through us, will help other people. He, through us, according to His directing, according to the desires of His heart, He will touch others. He will help humanity. He will fix things in other people's lives. But as for us, it's all about Him. Somebody say, it's all about Him. Yeah, it's not just a little bit about Him. It's all about Him. All about Him. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, it says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Notice that. It says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. Cling to Him. Christians should be known as clingers. That'd be a good time. Instead of saying, oh, he's a Christian, they say, he's a clinger. He's a clinger. What do you mean? He clings to God. Oh, those are those clingers over there. That's a church full of clingers. That'd be a good reputation to have. We need to have that kind of reputation. Christians are clingers. What do you mean? We love God. We love Him with all our heart. We love Him with all our soul. We love Him with all our mind. We love Him with all our strength. We love Him, and therefore we obey Him. We don't obey God because we're afraid we're going to get punished. We obey God because we love God more than our own wants and desires according to the flesh. We want to please Him. That's why we obey Him. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, under the Old Testament, they had the law. They were told what to do, what would be right in the sight of God, but they didn't have the heart of God. They didn't have the Spirit of God living in them. They were not born again. That came through Jesus Christ under the new covenant. We see it taught in the New Testament, where the Spirit of God has come to live on the inside of us. And the Spirit of God is the heart of God. And so we have received the heart of God now. So now we have a heart for God. It's no longer just obedience to a law, to a written code. It is now an obedience to God out of a love for Him. We love to keep His commandments. We love to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It pleases us knowing that we're pleasing Him. I want to know that I'm pleasing God. That is what I want to make sure of all the time. I want to always be testing myself, asking God, checking up on myself according to the scriptures. Am I loving God with all my heart? Am I living for Him? Am I fully pleasing Him? Jesus said concerning Himself that He said, I always do those things that please Him. I always do those things that please Him. Ah, that's it right there. I always, everybody say always. Every step I take, everywhere I go, every word I speak, everything, I always do those things that please Him. I want that to be me. I want that to be me. You want that to be you because that's what you were created for. And you say, well, I don't know. I really don't feel that way. I really don't care that much about pleasing God. I mean, I'm here at church. Isn't that good enough? That kind of mentality is a dysfunctional mentality. That is something that is broken down. It was created to work a certain way, but it is in dire need of repair. It needs to get fixed. It needs to get restored. It needs to be corrected. It needs to be made right. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for you to be living your life completely contrary to what you were created for. You were created to please Him. You were created to please Him. You were created to cling to Him. You obey Him because you love Him. And you cling to Him because you really love Him. And we talk about clinging, it sounds very passionate, doesn't it? When I looked up the word in the Hebrew for that word cling, it means follow hard. Follow hard. You follow hard after Him. Overtake. So you follow hard after Him. You pursue Him and overtake Him. To stick to. Stick to. We need to be sticky. We need to stick to Him. Nothing worse than buying some kind of adhesive thing and using it, and you keep trying to stick something to it, and it just keeps falling off. You blow on that thing. Dry! Stick! Pour more in there, and it won't stick. Frustrating. God created you to stick to Him, to stick with Him, to stick by Him. Why are we here this morning? Because He's got His glue bottle out. It's called a preacher. Preacher 309. And He's squeezing the glue bottle. And the glue bottle is spewing glue, adhesive things out of His mouth to cause you to stick to God. He's trying to make you sticky. And how frustrating it is. God's sitting there. Holy Spirit's got the glue bottle. And He's... And then... Nothing's sticking. And people just go right out and keep doing what they've always done and live for themselves and decide with how they want to do and what they want to do and what makes them happy. And it's not about Him. You know, you think, well, if some of it, maybe if it sits overnight. You know, surely if you just leave it alone, let it sit overnight. By morning, they'll be praying. By morning, they'll be clinging. By morning, they'll be stuck to me. By morning, it'll all sink in, and they'll be stuck to me. And He goes there in the morning, and He wakes you up, and it just falls apart. Just separated. Separated from Him. Broken fellowship. Running out into your day. Running to and fro. I got to work. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. The glue isn't working. What do you mean? The word isn't working. The preaching isn't working. And like I said, last week we talked about these tremendous meetings we've had here, prayer meetings and all kinds of things. And all of it is designed for one thing. Make you sticky. To make you stick to cling to God. And so if we have all these things and yet there's no cling, then All these things are vain. And though we come to church and we have great praise and worship music, and though we read our Bibles, and though we do these religious things, and though we give to the poor, and we do all these things, and we don't stick to Him, then it's all for nothing. We're just making a lot of noise, making our conscience feel good about itself while it continues to live for itself. Everything is designed to bring us to Him. That's why Jesus came. That's why we're here. That's why He gives us His Word. That's why He gives us His Holy Spirit. Come on, that's why He visits us. That's why He comes and refreshes us. That's why He comes and blesses us. That's why He comes and touches us. He does all these good things. He does it even to sinners. People aren't, they're in complete, total separation from Him. Totally separated from Him. They have no interest in Him. But the Bible says the goodness of God is to lead folks to repentance. Is to get them to turn to Him. It's to get their attention that, hey, I'm experiencing things I do not deserve. God is moving in my life. I did not deserve this. Forgive me, God. I repent of living for myself. You're so good. And I turn to You. I turn to You. His goodness is to get folks' attention and bring them back to Him. We were created to be stuck to Him. To be stuck to God. To follow hard after Him. It means keep fast. This word cling. Keep fast. Abide. Pursued. Take. Take Him. He's yours. God has given Himself to you. He's given His Spirit as a gift. Take the gift. Take the gift. I mean, think about it. God has offered the greatest gift of all, the gift of His Son. And then His Son offers us the greatest gift of all, the Holy Spirit. Because, of course, they're all one, aren't they? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so Jesus offers the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the gift of the Father's love. And yet how many people take it? Take it. Take it. And you know, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it. This is a violent taking. A violent taking. Hey, that's mine. Hey, that's mine. That's my time with God. Hey, that's my relationship with God. Now you, no, you're not going to come in here and sin. You're not going to come in here and mess up my relationship with God. No one's going to take that from me. I'm going to take it, cling to it, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Take. Stay close. Stay close. Keep close. Catch. Catch. God wants you to catch Him. He wants you to pursue Him, chase after Him, and don't give up until you catch Him. And then when you catch Him, you hang on to Him. You cling to Him. You're not quick to let Him go. You're going to hang on to Him. That's how we're to live our life. Hanging on to God. Clinging to Him. That's how He wants it to be. He wants us to cling to Him like that. He wants us to be attached to Him like that. Affectionately attached to Him. People get so attached to things, don't they? People get so attached to things. There's a lot of things in this generation that people get attached to. And they can't go anywhere without it. They got to have that thing all the time. Whatever it might be. Could be anything. I'll let you think about it. They're attached to it. For some folks, it's a fairly new thing in their life. But once they get it, there's no letting go of it. They get attached to it. They cling to it. Dare anybody take it from them. Dare anything happen to it. It's amazing how fast phones get repaired when they break. Did you ever notice that? Oh, it dropped in the water. But it's fixed now. I got a new one. Within how many hours? I mean, within a few hours, whoo! All of a sudden, the world stops. Everything stops. I didn't have time for God. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I got time to get that phone fixed right now. I got to get out of work early and get that phone fixed. It's amazing. The time is there, isn't it, for things that we have time for, that we're affectionately attached to, things that we cling to, things that we got to have. Friend, that's the way it's supposed to be with God. That's the way it's supposed to be with God. We were crying out for him. We're pleading for him. We so desire him. We can't function without him. You really can't. People are deceived and think they can, but they're not functioning correctly. It's like the guy driving down the road, and he's got a flat tire. He's got three other tires that are working, but he's got a flat tire. And he's still driving down the road. And he's just driving down the road like this, you know? And you don't even know it. He goes home, parks the car. Next day, goes out, gets in his car, starts it up, drives out the driveway. He's going. Well, he's going. There's no question he's going. But he's running on three tires instead of four. That one tire is just, it's just, it sparks. Rubber, the rubber's gone. It's been gone for days. He don't even know it. Sure, it's not the smoothest ride, but I'm used to that. My parents' car felt just like this growing up. And it seems normal. It just seems normal. Until the next thing you know, another tire blows out. Has sparks going everywhere. And you know, the car will still go. Do you know that? Take all the rubber off the tires, it'll still go. Won't go very well, but it will go. It'll cause all kinds of damage, but it'll go. And that's how people go. People go in life. They go from one thing to the next. Sparks are flying. They're causing more problems for themselves than they can repair. And it's because of this one thing. They're living for themselves and not for him. They're living for other things and not for him. But we are to function with the unction. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, in the King James version of the Bible. I usually read from the New King James. In the New King James, it talks about having an anointing from the Holy One, but I like how it says it in 1 John 2:20. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have a unction from the Holy One. And the reason why I like unction sometimes is because it simply rhymes with function, for no other reason. That's why I like it. And I'll say, there'll be times I'll just say, this body functions with the unction. My mind functions with the unction of the Holy One. It functions with him. It flows in him. It's in him. I abide in him. I'm not even trying to get healed for myself. I don't want to die and go to heaven and find out I didn't finish what he wanted me to do, that I didn't fully please him in everything he had set me to do. So we pray and we cry out, Lord, don't let me fail to fulfill the call that you've placed on my life. Don't let me fail to fulfill fully pleasing you in everything I say, everything I do in life. I'm not going to let the devil take me out prematurely. He's not going to take me out prematurely because that would be displeasing to you. Thank God I get to go to heaven, right? But I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to get there and stand before him. And I want him to smile. I've got to get the smile that says, well done. Son, you did it right. You did it the way I wanted you to do it. You lived your life the way I wanted you to live it. You followed my plan. You stayed close to me. Now, stay close to me throughout all eternity. Stay right here with me. Sit right with me on a throne right by me. Man, I got to have that. I don't need the crown. I don't need the throne. I just need to have the seat next to him. You know what I'm saying? I need to get in the chair with Jesus. I need to be there with him. It's not good enough for me to be in heaven somewhere down here with the foolish virgins. Down here with those that live foolish, fleshy lives. They made it to heaven. They got saved, but they live fleshy, foolish lives. And so they're out here from a distance. They look and say, oh, isn't it beautiful, the throne of God? Isn't it beautiful? And they're way back here in the crowd. That's not good enough for me. We can't let that be good enough for us. I said, we can't let it be good enough for us. We have to draw near to him, as near can be. We're right there clinging to him. Come on, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? One of them was a devil. And then three of them were real close to him, closer than the others, Peter, James, and John. But then there's John. And John is right there clinging, leaning on Jesus there at the dinner table, leaning on him. So that when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, he said that to the whole group. He said, one of you is going to betray me tonight. They're all reasoning, who is it? Who do you think it is? John just leaned over and said, Lord, who is it? So then Peter says, leans over to John and says, who is it? But John was right there hearing from Jesus directly. That's the kind of relationship we have. Under the old covenant, God established the priesthood. And thank God for it. Well, he raised up priests and he raised up prophets and people that would mediate between the people and God. And so people can hear a word from God through a prophet. People could go and offer sacrifices to God through a priest. But now under the new covenant, we're the priests. I said, we're the priests. Jesus is the high priest. And now we can come into the very holy of holies. And we can present whatever we want to God. And we can hear from God for ourselves. You can hear from him. He will direct your steps. He will establish your thoughts. He will guide you. And you could know, yes, this is my Father speaking to me. No, that's the flesh. No, that's what man would have me to do, but that's not my Father's will. That's not what my Father desires of me. We can know that. We can know what the Father's saying. We can be led by the Spirit of God now. We can be functional, fully functional. We can function with the unction, flow with him. Something's damaged and needs to be repaired, restored, renewed. If it's a life that's not living for God, through God, in God. It's all by him, through him, for him, and in him. And if life isn't that way, something needs to be repaired, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that something's not right, man. I'm not clinging to him. Now, I believe in him. I believe he died. I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe he died for my sins. And I love God. Sure I love God. Are you clinging to him? Well, I can't say I'm clinging to him. Then something needs to be repaired. Something's broken. You're not working right because you were created to cling to him. That's what you were created for him. So something needs to be repaired. Something needs to be restored. And so we need to recognize that. If we never recognize it, we just go on. We think we're okay. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the truth that wakes us up and helps us to realize, hey, something's not working right here. This is not good enough. My good is not good enough. I need to give myself to God and yield myself to his best. I need him to keep me close to him, and I need to stick to him, cling to him. And the psalmist, King David, he recognized when things were broken down and not working right. And he writes over in Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. In other words, you can hear the heartbreak here. He disobeyed God, and it's broken his heart. He recognizes that he's broken God's heart. He's hurt God. He said, I've offended you. I've done this terrible thing against you. And you only have by sin done this evil in your sight. You had to see this. You had to watch this. And I hate that. I hate that you were pulled into this, Lord. I hate you were pulled into this mess. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Notice what he says here. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew. Everybody say renew. Renew. See, we're talking about repairing something. Something that's not working right. It's broken. It's broken. If your fellowship is broken with God, then you're broken. I said if your fellowship with God is broken, you're broken. Because he is your life. And he is the length of your days. And he is the reason you're here. It's the reason you have breath. So if your fellowship is broken with him, then you're broken. But thank God you can get fixed. Hallelujah. Thank God you can have these big breaks. I mean, where it's complete separation from God. The Bible says all have sinned and are separated from God. Sin separates from God. But thank God through Jesus Christ, we can be rejoined to him, reconnected to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So there's being reconnected to him and becoming a part of the family of God. And we all have family in the natural, don't we? But some folks are distant relatives. In other words, distant family members. They don't live nearby. They don't live very close. Oh, you're blood related, but you really don't spend any time together. You really don't know each other very well. It could be that way between us and God. So we're not separated from him as we were before we were saved. But yet, things aren't fully together and functioning as it's supposed to be if we're not fully clinging to him and living our life, living our days, living our moments for him, seeing him in everything, looking to him in everything, trusting in him for everything. That's how we'd be living our life. So some things are completely separated. Some things have been repaired. But they're not functioning like they should. Well, it works. It's working. But it's not working as efficiently as it should. How do you want to live an efficient life? You want to live efficiently. You want to be fully functional. You don't want to be just partly, right? You know, like I used to have a 1969 Camaro. And it was an 8-cylinder. And so you had to put your spark plugs in there, you know. And sometimes, you know, you just take off and it just doesn't have the that you're looking for. You know, you're at the red light and the guy next to you is revving his engine. You rev your engine. And your car looks good, freshly painted. I mean, the tires are sharp. The chrome is shining. The light turns green. You hit the gas. And that guy takes off and you're just... You're going, but you're not functioning fully. That car is not working like it should. Is that right? And so you, after being embarrassed and humiliated, you take the thing, and you realize you got some spark plugs that fouled out on you, and you got to change the spark plug. I was running off of 6 cylinders instead of 8 cylinders. Well, it's functioning. Some people might not even recognize they're only running on 6 cylinders. But you're not running like you should. I want to run like I should. I say, I want to run like I should. I want to work like I was designed to work. I want all eight cylinders going. And when I hit the gas, we go. And if I got to deal with the devil, he goes. And if I got to go here or get there or whatever I need from God, I can get it. I'm not this half in, half out, partially connected to him. I'll be fully connected. I want everything working the way it's supposed to. I want the power of God flowing through my life. Don't you? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm sure I'm expressing your own heart. This is what we want. This is how it's supposed to be. There's no other way. Any other way is completely unacceptable. I remember when I was out of Bible school, and I thought I was pretty zealous for the Lord my God. You know, I'm at Bible school. I left everything to go to Bible school. Left everything. Went out there to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where the tumbleweeds blow by. Left the big city of New York. And I'm out there in tumbleweed land to seek the Lord in the desert, like Moses, you know. I'm zealous for the Lord. And I remember I was watching the LaCie Broadcasting Network. That's Lester Sumrall's station. Lester Sumrall was a great apostle in the faith. He showed footage of this underground church in China. And the church there was severely being persecuted. I mean, they were under severe persecution. If they got caught worshiping God, they can go to jail or be killed. And yet here they are, hidden in this bunker somewhere, crying out to God. And they had the camera down there filming this, and they're crying out to God. And the hunger, the thirst for God was so intense, so intense. I looked at it and thought, I don't know if I've ever cried out to God like that before. I mean, it was intense. I don't know if I've ever... And then they kept going and kept going like that. And they just kept going and going like that. And then the next thing that happened, you know, there was a cut in the film because they went on like that for quite some time. Then in came the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, they were so full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the agony on their faces for him was then met with total ecstasy of having him fill them. And I mean, they were so full of joy, so full of life. It was most amazing. It was so intense. It was so passionate. It made me examine myself. And I thought, I don't know if I'm that intense. You know, I pat myself on the back. I mean, I left everything, came out of Bible school. I love the Lord God. Wow. That's some serious passion there. That's some serious crying out and clinging. It challenged me. We need to cry out for him. How often? All the time. Every day would be a good idea. I mean, cry out. You know, the Bible says a lot about crying out. Cry out. Cry out. And they cried out. And they cried out after him. They cried out to cry out to God. Cry, cry. Cry out! It's passionate, it's emotional, it's intense. Crying out for him. So desire, I just want to be with him. I just want to walk with him. I want to know him. The Apostle Paul, all the things that he accomplished in life, all the great accomplishments in life. And yet he said, I have this one determined purpose, and that's to know him. To know him and the power of his resurrection and to suffer like him, to be able to suffer for him, give my life, suffer whatever I got to suffer, suffer in the flesh to please him, to know him, to have him, to be like him. He didn't say, my one determined purpose is to get the world saved. No, Jesus said, what is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? That's why Paul said, after I've preached to others, he said he has to watch out that he himself isn't disqualified or cast away from the presence of God. Even after preaching to others, I got to make sure that I'm not a castaway. Preaching isn't it. Ministry isn't it. Winning people isn't it. Getting souls saved isn't it. It's knowing him. I said it's knowing him. It's clinging to him. It's craving him. It's desiring him. And the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's a desire you have to determine to desire. Because this world, like we said last week, this world is ever working to dull you to God. Because the world is not living for God. And so it is teaching you not to live for God. The world is distracted from God, and it is a distraction from God. It'll distract you. So that's why as soon as we walk out, we start being distracted. The world starts calling us. The world starts pulling on us. The world starts dulling us. Remember, we were talking about erosion, the beach being eroded by the currents and the waves coming in. That wasn't just for last week. God wants to continue the message this week. He wants us to restore our beach. He wants our beach to be full of sand, full of the sand of understanding, full of the wisdom of God, full of the knowledge of him, knowing him, and not just knowing him according to scripture, but knowing him intimately, intimately. And our intimacy with him is confirmed through the scriptures. But we want to know him intimately. So that's why the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. When you get born again, you get saved, you become a newborn babe in Christ Jesus. You've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You've tasted that he's good. Now what? Desire. 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 You got to make yourself desire. Because your flesh, if your flesh dominates you, you won't know spiritual desire. You're too busy desiring everything else. Your flesh is too busy fulfilling all its desires. So your flesh, it'll keep you running all day long, keeping you busy from him. Keeping you all caught up in the desires of this and the desire of that, and I desire to this, and I want to desire to make that person happy, and I desire, and I desire, and I desire, and I desire, and you've got to stop and say, my one determined purpose is to know him, is to desire him, is to be filled with him, is to experience him, is to love him, to be filled with him, to be close to him, to know I'm pleasing him in everything I say and in everything I do. I am pleasing God. That's it. What commandment fulfills all the law and all the commandments? What fulfills all the law and all the commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might, everything you got, love him with all of you. That's not just a commandment. It should be a living reality in our life. And you have to make it that way. Wait a second. I was created to love him with all that I am, and that fulfills everything he's telling me. Because everything today is all about that. Everything God, all the good thing God does for us, it's all to bring us to him. Everything's to get us clinging to him. Everything's to get us loving and living for him. Producing for him. Producing for him. Everything's to do that. Notice again, Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Everybody say renew. A steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore. Everybody restore. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Notice the joy of your salvation. The joy of being right in your sight. The joy of being saved. The truth is, joy without Jesus is arrogance. Joy without Jesus is arrogance. And the way to illustrate that is, if you had a party and you invited all these people over, and you go out to go get some chips, you ran out of chips, so you run out of the house. Everybody just go in the house, everything's there. Everybody's having a party, and everybody's having this great time, and then you come back, and you walk in the room. As soon as you walk in the room, everybody just kind of shuts down. The smiles leave the face, the laughing stops. Oh, you're here. Think, I'm the life of the party, man. It's my party. I'm having the party. And everybody's just as dead as can be. Just as dead as they can be. Walk out of the room. I mean, you so soon get back up the stairs and you start hearing the music getting cranked up again. People start laughing down there. Man, you, next thing you walk down, you peek in there, everybody's laughing, everybody's having a great time, and you walk in the room. Everything just starts shutting down again. What kind of party is that? It's your house. You're supplying everything. You're giving them everything so they can have a great time. And yet when you walk in the room, nothing happens. Everything shuts down. You walk out of the room, and the party gets kicked back up again. Joy without Jesus is arrogance. If we're having joy and we're having all this fun and life is great, but he's not in it, that's just like you having a party, supplying everything for the people to have fun, have a good time. But when you show up, everything shuts down. They have no interest in you. They despise you. They don't like you. They don't want to party with you, but they want to party at your house with your stuff. Wouldn't that be pretty arrogant of these people? They come over your house, use your stuff, but they don't want to party with you. They like everybody else, though. Is that arrogance? Would you want to, like, kick those people out of your house? Like, would you never want to invite them back again? Yes. Thank God his mercy endures forever, or we all would have been kicked out a long time ago. But because of his great love for us, while we were yet partying without him, had no interest in him and despised him, God still continues to extend his goodness to us, continues to extend his hand of help to us, continues to love us, only hoping that we would catch a hold of his love for us and begin to pursue him until we catch him. He's looking for us to catch him. He's looking for you to chase him today. He's all around you. He's provided all these great things. Are you going to chase him? Well, I'll try. I mean, I did come to church. Wasn't that a good enough chase? I made it almost to 12:30 today. Sure, I nodded off a couple times, but I got tired because you're so boring, and I understand that, and I drifted, but I'm here. And then we go with the endurance. Our endurance goes somewhere else, towards other things. How heartbreaking. How heartbreaking to the heart of God. I don't want to break his heart. Do you want to break his heart? No, we don't want to break his heart. So what do you got to do? We got to take charge of our flesh and say, flesh, you're not going to dominate me. The love of God is going to dominate me. I'm living for him. I'm not living for this stuff. It's nice, but I don't live for it. I live for him. And that's what makes all this stuff work right. That's what makes it work right. It's when it's in relationship with him, a close, intimate relationship. God wants us to come closer and closer yet to him. Can you say amen? How are people going to meet the challenge? This is what he's talking to us about. We'll probably talk more about it next week. It'll probably be a three-part series. Or maybe we'll just keep going until everybody's caught him. And everybody's just clinging to him, and everybody just can't stop worshiping him. Maybe I'll just preach it until I can't preach anymore because worship is taking over the place. That would be a good thing, right? We just can't stop praising his name. We just can't stop praising the name of Jesus, right? We just can't stop. We just pastor a little bit longer. I gotta worship him. Weren't you up all night worshiping him? Yes! But I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. It's invigorating. It's invigorating. Worshiping him is invigorating. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. How many people want him? How many people stirred this morning to stir yourself? Yes. To stir yourself up. To get that glue, that adhesive working like it's supposed to, huh? Instead of this just gooey thing, it just stays gooey. Remember, there was this thing, this foam thing, I glued it together. And you had to use two different types of glue. And you mix them together, and then it causes it you know, to work. So I did that. I guess some of it didn't mix with the other glue. And so, you know, I put it together. I mean, a year later, that thing still is gooey. Just gooey. Not doing a thing. Dear Lord, never use that glue again. Don't be gooey. Be sticky. Be a clinging Christian. Clingers. Christians are clingers. Say, Christians are clingers. I'm a clinger. I cling to God. Amen. Praise. I don't cling to the creation. Say, I cling to the Creator. I don't cling to the creation. We don't cling to the creation. We cling to the Creator. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.